and naval forces of the United States.
Homeland.
Launched a series of strikes against terrorist facilities.
Ryanair Flight 103 crashed into the town of Lockerbie.
The Ascension X.
Claire Danes. Damian Lewis. Lorena Baccarin.
This aggression against Kuwait.
His relentless pursuit of terror.
We will make no mistakes.
David Harewood. And Diego Klattenhoff. Jamie Sheridan.
It was a despicable encounter by those who
harbored. David Marciano. Naveed Nagapon. Jackson Pace. Morgan Saylor and Mandy Patinkin. Grainy black and white images of the World Trade Center burning.
We must and we will remain vigilant at home and abroad.
A sign for the George Bush Center for Intelligence.
What the fuck are you doing?
I missed something once before. I can't.
It was 10 years ago.
Everyone missed something that day.
Everyone's not me.
Carrie listens on headphones. Brody looks out at Capitol Hill. A helicopter flies overhead.
Previously on Homeland.
Jessica spends the night with Mike.
Listen, Jessica, about last night.
Hey, I loved last night. I felt happier than I felt in a long time.
Who does know the plan to attack America?
Roya Ahmad.
She's at a window counter with her camera crew. If that's a device, it's at least 200 pounds.
Tech 1, Tech 2, Tech 3, move now. Over.
Roya is apprehended.
It's not him. It's not Abu Nuzir.
David alerts Peter.
Stand down. We still need him. I say again.
Stand down.
What the hell are you doing here?
Peter Quinn is one of mine.
Why would Estes put an off-the-book black ops guy in charge of a straight-up intelligence operation?
He just asked for a soldier.
Soldiers kill people.
Carrie's been in an accident. D.C. police found a car on 17th Street all smashed up. It was broadsided.
Is she hurt?
They can't find her.
What the fuck have you done to Carrie?
If you want to help her, you will do exactly as I tell you.
Alden has a bad heart. His pacemaker can be accessed wirelessly.
Send me the number.
Or I will kill her.
Call doctor.
I'm killing you.
Saul, it's Carrie.
Carrie, where the fuck are you?
Abu Nuzir is in an abandoned mill.
We'll find you. Stay put. Do not go after Nuzir.
Saul Berenson.
Yes.
You're wanted upstairs.
I'm on my way to catch a terrorist. What could be more important than that?
They didn't say.
Carrie's gone back to the mill. Breathlessly, she moves through the gloomy space, bathed in an eerie green glow. She glances around the seemingly endless chambers, then suddenly has to sit down, exhausted and bruised. She hangs her head and lets out a trembling sigh. Looking up, she sees a figure cross the end of a corridor, so she makes off after them, only to stumble and fall. Painfully pushing herself to her feet, she tries to follow them. In another section of the mill, she glances around, but the person seems to have vanished. She breaks into a run, then finds a door, which she tentatively opens. Stepping through the darkness, she emerges into the night air. A bank of spotlights illuminates her, and a line of armed guards have her in their sights.
Lower your weapons, she's with us!
All right, leaders on me!
Stand down, weapons set!
Gary?
He was there. He was right in front of me. We gotta go get him.
We will, but you stay here.
Bravo team, sir.
Make entry.
Bravo's ready.
Alpha team.
Roll it. Secure the perimeter.
Bravo team, move in.
Carrie's eyes are wide and manic.
Carrie, I'm taking you to the medic.
No,
not for discussion. You're shaking.
He was right in front of me. I don't know how I lost him.
Sure, it was Nuzir.
Yeah, I followed him into the tunnels right after I called Saul.
From where?
Somewhere here, right by where he was holding me.
By a road.
Close by, then.
Yeah, I wasn't below ground that long.
How did you get away?
She thinks for a moment.
I escaped.
How?
I was lucky. I'm freezing.
He puts his jacket on over her shoulders.
Where's Saul?
He's stuck at Langley, probably tied up with the vice president's situation.
What situation?
All right, you missed it.
She perches on the back of an ambulance.
Walden died.
How?
A heart attack in his house. Apparently his pacemaker malfunctioned. So sit, do whatever this guy tells you. I'll be right back, hopefully with his ear, okay?
She lets out a tense breath. Brody is leaning against the window of the safe house apartment, looking out at the rooftops.
Can't sleep? Me neither. I spoke to Cynthia.
How's she holding up?
Barely. Whatever else, they were married for 30 years. She said she was glad you were with him when he died.
He seems uncomfortable as Jessica sits on the sofa.
It's all changed, hasn't it? How that bill's gone.
Well, I'm not going to be vice president, if that's what you mean.
That's not what I meant. I mean, it's all changed. Everything. I keep asking myself how we even got here. Things just happened. Opportunities, they seem like. We just went along, one thing to the next. I think maybe this is a time to stop and think.
Having taken a seat next to her, he looks around, seeming troubled. She gets up and moves over to him.
What is it? Just tell me.
As he gazes at her, his phone begins to buzz. He checks the screen, then gets to his feet.
I think I should probably.
Yeah.
She's frustrated as he goes out onto the veranda.
Hello.
It's me.
So you're okay?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Near where he had me. They're looking for him.
Who is?
Everyone. Nearly half a dozen tac teams. There's no way out. We'll get him this time. Quinn already asked me how I got away.
What did you tell him?
I escaped.
Good.
What's Nazir gonna say when we get him?
It doesn't matter.
It does. Walton's dead.
Look, all that matters to me right now is that you're safe.
He turns to see Jessica watching him from the living room.
I gotta go.
She nods. Brody hesitates a moment before going back inside. He pulls the French window shut behind him and stares at Jessica, who has tears in her eyes. He lowers his gaze with a hint of shame. Heartbroken, she turns from him and leaves the room. At Langley, Saul is in an interview room tapping his fingers on a table.
Larry.
Saul?
So this is what Estes is up to.
What's that?
This, you, a polygraph.
Calm down.
Which he's using for one reason, to keep me locked away in a room.
I wouldn't know.
You do know, I just told you.
Saul, we all agree to this. Section 17.3 of your employment contract.
Fine.
You really have to calm down.
Why the fuck should I?
You'll fail the test.
Fail the test? What is this, middle school? Of course gonna fail the test. Test's a goddamn farce.
Not to Estes, it's not. He seemed very serious about it. Could you stand up for me? Mm-hmm. Just hold that there.
So what's the pretext?
What do you mean?
I mean, what are you even going to ask me about? Company vehicles? Excessive use of office supplies?
I'm just here to set up the machine. He'll be asking all the questions.
A confident-looking man.
Who the fuck are you?
Carrie's watching a news report on her phone.
He was director of the CIA for 3.5 tumultuous years before being elected vice president. Walton attended Notre Dame, where he was an all-American running back.
Vice president of the United States. Think they could find something more vivid to say than play football at college. Attack team's completed the initial sweep known as Zero.
That's not possible. I was right on his heels.
I know, but I think we gotta concede that he might have gotten out of here. Got two members in Azir's network back up Langley waiting to be interrogated.
You really think he got out of here past all of this?
I'm saying it looks that way.
Then he had help. He must have.
From whom?
Well, why did we put this operation off-grid in the first place? Because we've had leaks all along the way.
So you think one of our people is working against us?
But you have another explanation?
Yeah, Nazir got away before we even got here.
I told you, he was right there. I heard him.
She looks at him with wild, pleading eyes.
Okay, we'll take another look. Okay, guys, let's go. Going back in.
The officers don their helmets.
Let's try again. Is your name Saul Berenson?
Yes.
They're sometimes called the bear.
Fucking hope not. No.
Are you presently in Alabama?
No.
Do you intend to answer truthfully here today? Do you intend to answer truthfully here today?
Yes.
I'd prefer this not take all night.
See, I think you'd prefer that it did.
Are you acquainted with Eileen Morgan?
Yes.
I was.
Are you aware that she killed herself?
Yes.
Were you with Eileen when she died?
Yes.
Was Eileen a terrorist?
She said she was.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you live on Tripoli Lane?
No.
Did you provide the weapon Eileen Morgan used to kill herself?
What?
Answer the question.
How is this about? I provided the weapon.
Did you provide the weapon Eileen Morgan used to kill herself?
You tell Estes, no matter how many bullshit charges he trumps up, I'm on him. He wants to frame me for her death? Go ahead, try. You know what this is really about, do you? Plan to assassinate a U.S. congressman. Second Abu Nazir is out of the picture. Why don't you ask me a few questions about that?
The interrogator is unmoved.
Did you provide the weapon Eileen Morgan used to kill herself?
5, 6, 7. Okay, who else? A team is 8 members, right?
Yes.
Could you join us, please? Over here. Okay, so who was responsible for directing the actual search?
Carrie, excuse me, please. What are you doing?
I want to talk to the people who cleared the tunnel.
Talk to them?
So ask them a few questions.
Like what? If they're working for the other side? They are all ex-military.
So?
So you do not want to be questioning their loyalty on a hunch.
I told you, if Nazir got away, someone must have helped him.
These guys work in pairs, you know that, right? So do you want to explain to me how one of them is helping Nazir while his buddy's looking over his shoulder? Or is it more than one, or all of them, or one big conspiracy?
Who is there from our side? Who is directing the search? Which of our people?
Me.
Who else?
Does that mean you trust me?
Who else?
Galvez.
Carrie takes this in.
Danny Galvez, where is he?
Out full security.
Perimeter. Galvez, does he make sense?
I don't know.
He took a bullet in the tailor shop.
Well, Nazir has a history of sacrificing his own people.
Did he even have access? The leaks over the past year, does Galvez make sense?
It might.
What?
He is a Muslim.
Galvez cleared security at main gate 2 minutes ago. He's driving north.
He has Nazir.
Shut the outer perimeter. I want that car stopped now. Bravo team with us.
Bravo, mount up.
Eagle, this is Unit 4. We have target vehicle in sight.
Approaching blockade at County 5.
A roadblock has been set up, and cars chase after Galvez, their blue lights flashing. Driving a black car, he has to skid to a halt as he reaches the roadblock.
Put your hands on the wheel where we can see them. Do not move!
Can you see him, Nazir?
Not yet.
Carrie races out of the car and takes cover.
Is he armed?
Can't tell.
Get them out of there.
Let's go!
Armed FBI agents go to the car and pull Galvez out.
Out of the car! What the umbrella? Get down, now!
Carrie!
What are you doing?
Shut up!
No weapons, he's clean.
Clear!
There's no one else in the vehicle.
Where is he? God damn it, Danny! Where did you take him?
Who?
Abu Nazir, where is he?
Carrie.
Tell me!
Carrie! He's bleeding.
My stitches ripped open. I was going to the hospital.
All right, let him up.
Peter sits Galvez up, revealing a blood stain on his shirt. Carrie looks confused. At the apartment, Chris is eating his breakfast while Brody watches him from the neighboring chair. Dana walks through, looking annoyed.
Morning.
She goes through to the kitchen.
You have any idea where your mother is?
Probably in the bathroom crying. I mean, if last night is any indication.
Dana grabs a milk carton to find that it's empty. She turns and shakes it at him with a scowl.
Here, take mine.
No thanks.
I didn't touch it.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to either. You know, there's a 7-Eleven half a block away. They have milk. It's too bad we can't go there.
You want to tell me what's bugging you?
Nothing is bugging me. I just want to go to school. Most parents would be thrilled.
I thought we were doing better.
Yeah, well, I guess not.
Chris goes to play a video game.
I swear to God, if I have to listen to another minute of Kuma War, I am going to kill someone.
Dad!
Dana!
What are we doing here? Could someone please tell me that?
I told you.
Yeah, you told me something that did not make any sense.
I got more milk.
They actually let you leave?
Major Mendez got it for me.
Okay now, Dana?
Why? What's wrong?
Nothing. Oh, fuck!
Dana!
This is leaking! It's disgusting! Oh. I am so sick of this!
Dana!
What are we even doing here?
We're only here a while
long. Why are you even here? Why do you not just go live with that crazy woman and leave us alone?
Hey!
No, Dana, shut up!
We're better off with Mike. All of us. He has been a better father to us than you ever were!
I don't think we should be making any decisions right now.
Yeah.
Any of us. We need to just stop till we get home, to our house. And then we'll figure everything out.
You can't blame yourself.
Sure.
If communication had been better, we would have known Galvez was on his way to the hospital.
Hey, I heard about the ugliness out there.
It was my fault.
It's done. So, where are we now?
I just want to get Nazir. Excuse me, I've waited 2 days to wash my face.
She walks off.
I'm, having Roy Hamad move to Interrogation B like you asked.
Good. We'll get on her.
No, wait. I want you to question her.
Well, Carrie knows more about our network.
Agreed, but Nazir could be anywhere. We're not gonna find him without some help. We need to take our best shot at this, and after what Carrie's just pulled, I doubt that's her.
Okay.
David spots the interrogator.
Let me know how it goes.
Peter watches David go to meet him. In the bathroom, Carrie washes the blood from her hands, then splashes water on her face. Squirting some soap onto her palms, she cleans more blood from her cheeks. The marks on her forehead and temple remain. Looking at them, she pulls an emotional expression and starts to break down as she examines the injury. Next, she checks her wrists, where thick, bloody sores are left from the plastic ties. Breathing deeply, she moves her hair away from her face, then leaves the bathroom. Out in the corridor, she spots Roya being taken into an interview room by two agents. Roya seems disheveled. As the two men escort her into the room, Carrie follows them. One of them shackles Roya's wrists to the table and the other her ankles to the floor. Carrie slips into the room and nods quietly to them. They leave Carrie alone with Roya. Carrie is standing in a corner behind Roya so that when she speaks, it makes Roya jump.
I spent an afternoon with him. Abinazir. He put a gun to my head and came very close to pulling the trigger. He did this to me, and he did this.
She shows Roya her wrists. Seeing Roya's disdain, Carrie nods.
He was surprisingly frank. He told me it would take centuries to defeat the unbelievers, and he didn't care how many casualties there would be. On either side, how many people died? It's of no concern. I think that's him, not you. You are a student, then a reporter, but you were never a soldier. You've never been there at Ground Zero when the bomb goes off, knowing all that death is on you. The naval base attack would have been the first time. 300 men and women coming home. Their families waiting for them. Their children. All just blown to pieces. But it didn't happen. And now you have a second chance. Take it. Because I think there's some part of you that's relieved that bomb never went off.
Carrie sits down opposite.
Shit.
Roya. What he does,
which is kill innocent people. It's justified by a future which, for the life of me, I can't believe you actually want.
How could you know what I want?
Peter's watching from the observation room.
I know it's not that.
Roya seems to meld.
I understand that this is personal for you. That your family lost land to the occupation. That your grandfather was killed. But Nazir can't change that. His only answer is perpetual war. Roya.
Roya lifts her head to look into Carrie's eyes.
Have you ever had someone who somehow takes over your life, pulls you in, gets you to do things that aren't really you, that you know are wrong. But you can't help yourself. Do you have anyone like that?
Overwhelmed, Carrie nods.
Yes. Well, I've never been that stupid. You idiot whore! You think you understand me? Or what my family have lost and suffered? You think this is just some fucking game? Nazir isn't afraid of you. I'm not. I don't need your help. I don't want it. Videx Masada, Yaleb Tiftahi, Izuki, Loahad Japan Daya.
Peter has burst in and pulled Roya back, releasing her grip on Carrie's wrists. When they've gone, Roya slams her fists down onto the table.
I'm gonna have someone take you home.
No,
I'm not asking. You've been up for a day and a half.
I fucked it up in there. Our chance to get Nazir. Fuck.
We'll see. Go home and get some rest, okay? I'm gonna deal with Roya and I'll keep you posted. Nothing's gonna happen without you, I promise.
She walks off looking broken.
Thanks for getting this done so quickly.
My pleasure.
How'd it go?
It's all there, everything you wanted. I quizzed him on the main topics we discussed, the illegal surveillance of Sergeant Brody, death of Eileen Morgan, general insubordination, plus a couple of detours I found along the way.
So we're done.
You got enough there to do what you want. You can fire him, tie him up in administrative proceedings for the next decade, refer him to harsher interrogations.
I'm hoping none of that'll be necessary.
Yeah, sure. Goes without saying. Funny detail, though. He went on this crazy rant about an assassination plot against a U.S. congressman. The machine said he was telling the truth. I'm calling it an anomaly. Thought it was best to leave it out.
David's left looking thoughtful. Now, Carrie's driving along a quiet road. She reaches a traffic light and comes to a halt. Waiting for the lights to change, she grabs her handbag and pulls out her pills. She knocks some back before checking the wounds on her wrists. When the lights change to green, she seems unable to move on, breathing deeply and lost in her thoughts. A car behind beeps its horn. It overtakes her, and a slight frown furrows her brow. As another car is about to pull around her, she suddenly drives out in front of it and speeds back in the opposite direction. Roy is about to be given an injection when Peter's phone rings.
You home yet?
I'm not going home.
Carrie.
Listen to me. Something Roya said was bothering me. She said Nazir wouldn't run.
From you, she said. Fakri Nazir bayukhrab minak inti.
From me, from whomever. It means run. Literally. Not back down, not be afraid of. Run, as in movement. What if Nazir didn't run and we're looking in all the wrong places?
So what are the right places?
Back in the tunnels. Nazir never left.
We searched the tunnels.
I know.
With multiple teams. If Nazir was hiding in there, we'd have found him.
This has happened before. He's just vanishing right under our noses like a magic trick. I'm heading back there. Quinn, I'm heading back.
I'll be there soon.
Carrie arrives at the mill to find a small team still there.
Where is everyone?
All done.
Where are the attack teams?
Them two left a while ago. There might be one crew still here, over behind that building.
Stay here. Don't go anywhere. Don't let anyone else leave.
She runs off in the direction he indicated and stops a van.
Stop! Stop! Oh, thank God.
What is it?
We need to sweep the tunnels.
We did.
One last time.
Ma'am, we've been called back to Langley.
Tell Peter Quinn he'll give you whatever authorization you need. Please, our target, I think he's still here.
David lets himself into the room where Saul is being held. He drops a file on the table in front of him.
The results of your polygraph session. Open it, take a look.
I don't need to. I know what's in there, I also know why you did it.
And why's that?
Because I was right. You're planning a hit on Brody. You want me out of the way where I can't interfere, so you trump that up.
There's nothing trumped up there, Saul. That's a product of standard agency procedures.
Fuck you. How you gonna do, huh? How you gonna do on the polygraph when they ask if you ever executed a member of Congress?
We both know what Brody is. And Congressman is the least of it.
We have a deal with him.
We don't make deals with terrorists. And if he's confused about that, or you are, that's not my problem. What is my problem is the way you continually undermine me. I can't allow it. You're through here. I want you gone. What the official story is, that's up to you. But I will use this to tie you up in hearing after hearing for the rest of your natural life if I have to. You think about that.
David takes the file and lets himself out of the room. Saul is devastated. In the tunnels, the FBI team is moving slowly with Carrie behind them. Their torch beams cut neatly through the darkness.
Mind if I ask? What happened to your face?
The guy we're looking for, he did that.
You were the one he held hostage.
Yeah.
Why you?
Carrie shrugs. While the rest of the team make their way off down one of the tunnel corridors, Carrie seems to spot something in a different direction. The agent in front of her is the last of the group and turns when she moves off away from him.
What is it?
This wall right here.
What about it?
These conduits are passing right through it.
Yeah?
At ceiling height, like there's a room back there.
He stays with her as she shines her torch into a mesh cage containing some sort of boiler.
There's something back there.
Let's see.
The agent slides the mesh cover away, and although it requires some strength, it moves, revealing a narrow entranceway. Carrie watches anxiously as he raises his weapon and allows the torch attached to it to illuminate the way. He glances back at her, then slowly moves into the space. Carrie stays put. The agent makes his way through a long, dark passage, sweeping his torch beam back and forth. Carrie watches as the agent turns a corner. He finds food wrappers and a shallow mattress on the floor.
Holy shit.
There's a small table.
You're right, it was here.
Further into the room, he finds an empty corner.
No more, though.
We can't be far.
The agent heads out back to Carrie.
Bravo, come in. Bravo, you there?
Fuck. I'll get them.
Yeah, go.
As she runs, she hears a noise which stops her in her tracks, and she turns back. She finds the agent on the floor, and when she turns him over, sees that his throat has been cut. Nazir looms over her with a knife, which she swipes away. She's dropped her torch, which Nazir grabs as she races away from him. She hurries on frantically through the shadows. Nazir is close behind with the torch. Carrie ducks down behind a large barrel, and as Nazir closes in, he sweeps the passageway with the light but doesn't see her. As he makes his way around the vast room, she quietly shuffles around the barrel to keep out of his view. The torch beam sweeps around, and Carrie takes a chance at peering out from behind the barrel. Nazir's face is glaring at her in the half-light from across the room. She ducks away once more, and as she peers through the gloom, the torch goes off. Straining to see him, she's unaware that he's creeping up behind her. He grabs her around the neck. With brutal force, he punches her in the stomach and throws her against the wall. As he stands over Carrie with her face flat against the floor, a burst of torchlight fills the room. Nazir races away from the approaching agents.
Who's got eyes on him? I got him! Do not move!
Nazir is kneeling on the floor. His hands are resting on his thighs, palms up. He looks at the agents with a calm expression, then swiftly reaches into his pocket. Carrie lifts herself up off the floor and walks slowly towards the sound of the agent's gunfire. She makes her way through the agents to where Nazir is lying on the floor. Dropping down onto her knees next to him, she leans towards his head. Sometime later, Nazir's body is carried outside on a stretcher by the agents. Carrie walks alongside it to a waiting large black van. Police officers and other FBI agents stand watching as Nazir's body is loaded into the van. Carrie watches solemnly with a frown, staring at Nazir as David walks over to her.
Good work. I'm told he would have gotten away again if not for you.
Not just me.
Oh, well. You were the one who always had a sixth sense about him. The president will be thanking the agency at a press conference within the hour. It's a big day. For all of us. He must be very happy. Excuse me.
Leaving Carrie, David goes to meet with Peter. When he's gone, Carrie steps closer to the body and starts to break down. Her face is a mixture of relief, triumph, and sadness. She nods to one of the agents to shut the doors.
They're moving the Brody family back to their house. Their security detail will be dismantled within the hour.
So it's a go?
Yes.
It'll be risky now. Everyone will be looking to Brody for a soundbite about up in his ear.
I'd still like it handled as soon as possible. It looked like blowback for us getting the zero.
Peter nods a little but seems uncomfortable. Then he glances over at Carrie. He turns and walks away without a gesture to her. Brody is sitting in the living room of the apartment when Jessica comes in with Major Mendez.
Brody.
Is there something wrong?
Not at all. I told Mrs. Brody we were just notified that Abu Nazir has been killed.
Brody looks away from them.
It's good news, right?
He's filled with emotion.
Dad?
Brody.
Jessica looks back at the children as Brody breaks down. He bites into his fist, then suddenly looks up.
Yeah.
You're all safe now, Congressman.
Yeah, of course.
You can all go home.
Jessica looks disturbed as he wipes away a tear. He forces a smile. Later, it's dark as they pull up outside the house, followed by another car.
Never in my life have I been so happy to be home.
I kind of miss that place.
You would.
They made your bed for you.
That was Mom, moron.
Really?
I guess it's time to say goodbye to Major Mendez.
Brody remains sitting behind the wheel as Jessica walks down the drive to where Mendez is waiting. Brody watches in the wing mirror, then glances at the children as they find their house keys and climb the steps to let themselves in. He frowns a little, his expression clouded with a great concern. Jessica returns to the car to find him staring into space.
You coming?
She opens the car door.
Brody.
He shakes his head.
I can't.
He meets her gaze, and she momentarily glances towards the house before climbing into the seat next to him. Brody lets out a sigh.
I don't want to fight anymore. Even for something.
Me too.
We were okay for so long. You know? Since we were 16. And all we wanted was to be together. We were so okay.
I know.
Was it Mike?
No.
Because...
No, it wasn't. You know that.
I really tried. I just keep wishing that I'd been bigger somehow. Able to give you what you needed to be okay again after you got back, but I couldn't.
You did fine.
It was just beyond me.
Jess. There was nothing anyone could have done. Even me. Because I tried to deal with everything that happened. But that was beyond me. I was fucked the moment I left for Iraq. We all were.
She starts to break down, but fights back her tears. Brody studies her helplessly, then looks away, his eyes becoming watery. He looks back at her.
The time Carrie came over here to the house, on the day that Elizabeth Gaines was shot and Tom Walker died, Carrie said some crazy things to Dana and to you. She said things about what I was going to do.
Don't. Not now. For the longest time, all I wanted was for you to tell me the truth. I wanted to know it all. I don't have to know anymore. Don't want to.
Jessica looks away, then turns back to him with a hint of anger.
Carrie knows, right? She knows everything about you. She accepts it.
She nods a little to herself.
You must love her a lot.
She smiles, but he doesn't respond, as if he hadn't yet considered this, and she squeezes his arm. Looking a little stunned, he turns his gaze to the house.
What will we tell the kids?
Nothing they don't already know.
Jessica moves her hand away from Brody's arm, then reaches slowly for the car door and gets out. He watches her make her way up the steps to the front door. Once she's inside, he closes his eyes and lets out an enormous sigh. He lets his head drop back against the seat. Carrie's in her bathroom at home, looking at her injuries. She waits a moment, then hearing the doorbell again, makes for the stairs. At the front door, she looks through the peephole before opening it. Brody is standing there.
He's dead.
I know.
Can't do any more damage to anyone.
What I did? Nasir to let you go. It was you or Walden, Carrie.
He gently brings his hand up to her wounded face, and tears fill her eyes.
It wasn't even close.
She presses her hand against his, then kisses his palm. With a sad smile, she leads him into the house. They're both unaware that Peter is watching them from a parked car across the street.